China Airlines suffers another blow to its safety reputation. Canadian investigators say a faulty lap belt caused the death of a snowbird. And environmental protesters clash with police at Heathrow. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, August 21st, 2007. A China Airlines 737-800 carrying 157 passengers caught fire after landing at Naha Airport in Okinawa, Japan early Monday. While taxiing to the gate, the 737's right engine caught fire and flames quickly spread. The airline says all 165 people on board were evacuated safely. Johnson Sun, a spokesman for Taipei-based China Airlines, told CNN that terrorism has been ruled out. The entire aircraft was evacuated within 90 seconds, according to Ahihiko Tamura, director of Japan's Civil Aviation Bureau. Video aired on Taiwanese TV reportedly shows people fleeing across the tarmac as flames engulf the fuselage. This incident aggravates an already uncomfortable focus on the carrier, which has had four fatal accidents in the last 14 years, killing more than 1,000 people. The carrier had jets go down in 1994, 98, 99, and 2002. Naha Airport was reportedly reopened about an hour after that fire. A preliminary report on the cause of a fatal Canadian snowbird accident in Montana says a seatbelt failure is to blame. As ANN reported, Captain Sean McAfee was lost when his CT-114 Tudor jet crashed near a Montana Air Force base during a show rehearsal on May 18th. The report released on Monday says McAfee lost control of the aircraft when his lap belt unfastened while he flew inverted. The investigation is now focusing on why. McAfee, who was flying the number 2 aircraft off the lead's left wing, was apparently not able to eject and died on impact. There have been modifications made to the pilot restraint system, as well as enhanced training for air crews and passengers, and changes to the aircraft operating instructions since that accident. Since 1972, 6 snowbird pilots have been lost in accidents, many believed caused by mechanical problems. The team suspended performances for a month after the latest accident, and when they resumed, dedicated the season to McAfee. A 5-season veteran, Captain Paul Couillard, has been named as his replacement on the snowbirds. Protesters taking part in the Camp for Climate Change on the outskirts of London's Heathrow International Airport clashed with British police on Sunday during what has been a largely peaceful demonstration. According to Reuters, some 200 protesters made their way to the parking area for airport operator BAA, where there was a large police presence, and began pitching tents saying they were going to spend the night there. Officers drove them into nearby fields, chasing them and reportedly striking a few with batons. There were 4 arrests, 1 for assault on a police officer, bringing the total number of arrests made over the course of the event to 49. Camp organizers estimate that 1,000 or more people took part in the week-long protest. Participants object to expansion at Heathrow and the growth of aviation in general, saying the industry produces too much of the carbon emissions that contribute to global warming. Revised forecasts show Hurricane Dean should not be a factor for the space shuttle Endeavour, but the decision to shorten the shuttle's mission and land on Tuesday will stand. NASA hopes to make the landing at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida early Tuesday afternoon, provided crosswinds are not above limits. NASA engineers have spent the better part of the past week analyzing photos and scans of Endeavour's heat shield system from a variety of sources and have determined that a gash in 2 of the heat-resistant tiles on the shuttle will compromise neither safety nor turnaround for the spacecraft's next mission. The Associated Press reports that next spring, managers expect to be able to replace some aluminum alloy brackets on the shuttle's external fuel tank with new brackets made from titanium, reducing the need for insulation to withstand the temperature extremes of launch. It was a piece of that insulation which broke off during Endeavour's launch and struck the craft, causing the damage to the tiles. Up next on ANN, the FAA responds to the latest criticism from its controllers union. An inattentive security screener in Montreal triggers a 3-hour airport backup. And a truck catches fire in a Connecticut State Police hangar. You're listening to Aero News.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 400 is a fire-breathing turbocharged four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises 235 knots with a next-generation Avidyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. As high as flight level 250, way above most weather, and a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 400 is the kind of plane you deserve, whether you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or the turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144. Check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com. Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 21st, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. In yesterday's Aero Briefing, we brought you statements made by the National Air Traffic Controllers Association regarding the situation at the Southern California Terminal Radar Approach Control. NATCA reported 5 operational errors occurred at that facility in less than 2 weeks, including 3 in a span of 4 days, forcing the FAA to suspend training for 3 days. The union blamed the cluster of errors on fatigue due to understaffing. On Monday, FAA spokesman Ian Greger told ANN that's not the whole story. Quote, Southern California TRACON is staffed within its authorized level of 186 to 228 controllers. We have enough controllers to safely and efficiently run all of the sectors in SCT airspace. Training new controllers can be challenging, but it's part of a certified controller's job duties. We have to bring a lot of new controllers on board to replace those who are retiring, unquote. Greger went on to point out that in the current fiscal year, the facility is running well below last year's error count. He also said there is no statistical correlation between staffing levels and error levels. In fiscal year 2000, for example, Greger said SCT had about 270 controllers and recorded 18 operational errors. As for the suspension of training for 3 days, quote, we did stand down training for 72 hours following the recent spate of errors. This is not unusual. We do this for 2 weeks every October to give everyone a break from training, and we do it if unusual events occur, such as a string of controller errors. It's the prudent thing to do, unquote. A security agent at Montreal's Trudeau International Airport, apparently a bit slow on the draw Saturday, missed noticing a knife in a bag at a security checkpoint. When it dawned on him what he'd seen, the passenger had already left the area, and the resulting scramble to locate the bag backed up international flights for more than 3 hours. Security agents searched about 20 planes until they found the bag and knife in question. The Canadian press reports the search was slowed because agents weren't even sure if they were looking for a male or female passenger. The so-called knife was actually part of a pair of multifunction pliers, and Montreal police say the passenger was unaware he was not supposed to have the tool on an airline flight. Police say charges are unlikely. A truck that caught fire in the Connecticut State Police Department's hangar closed down the Hartford-Brainerd Airport for about an hour on Sunday. Lieutenant J. Paul Vance told the Hartford Courant that state police employees working at the hangar happened to notice a state police truck was on fire about 10:30 a.m. He says the Hartford Fire Department quickly extinguished the fire. Hartford Police and Homeland Security also responded. Vance says all air traffic was diverted to Bradley International until the fire was under control. There was no damage to any state police aircraft in the hangar. All of them happened to be out flying at the time of the fire. The truck sustained an unknown amount of damage, and there's also some smoke damage to the building and perhaps some equipment. A cause was not immediately identified, but foul play is not thought to have been involved. The state fire marshal's office is investigating. There are always downsides to having your hometown become a trendy playground for the rich and famous. Prices in the cafes go up. Paparazzi are everywhere. Brad Pitt lands his helicopter on your lawn without asking first. On the French Riviera, so many of the beautiful people are using helicopters to beat traffic that the locals are revolting In particular, residents of the seaside community of Saint-Tropez are trying to impose a complete ban on helicopters. They've tried being nice about it, but to no avail. A voluntary code of conduct was tried last year, but largely ignored. In a three-month period last summer alone, there were an estimated 5,000 takeoffs and landings by helicopters in Saint-Tropez. Noise complaints and safety fears were aggravated by frequent low flights over the local marina. In one particularly egregious event, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie flew the area in their quest for an available country estate. The owner of one estate was outraged when the pair landed on his carefully manicured lawn to see if he'd sell his home. Quote, "It was almost like an invasion. Brad Pitt thinks he's God," unquote. The Daily Telegraph reports residents have been successful in closing down one helipad, which was responsible for more than 30% of the helicopter landings near the town. One resident told the paper helicopter opponents have reached the point of trying physical intervention to stop the menace. Just be careful, those blades are hard to see when they're spinning. Still ahead, airlines sling mud in their fight for a new route to China. The U.S. Armed Forces argue over their UAV programs. And could supply and demand reverse falling airline pilot salaries? You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, August 21st, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. There are more people wanting to fly between the U.S. and China than available airline seats, and the contention among the major airlines for the next available route is starting to look a little like bickering three-year-olds in a backseat on a road trip. By agreement with China, new direct service by U.S. airlines must be limited by the U.S. Department of Transportation, with new routes awarded based on proposals from the airlines. Demand for seats is so outstripping supply that a new route is almost guaranteed to be profitable. Dan Casper, managing director of worldwide consulting firm LECG in Cambridge, Massachusetts, told the Atlanta Business Chronicle that proposals from airlines sling mud at their competitors and make for entertaining reading at the DOT, but that the agency is sticking to its goals of increased competition and service to underserved communities. The Chronicle reports its hometown airline, Delta, has been disparaged by competitors vying for the next route set to open in 2009. Northwest, which already operates three China routes, cites Atlanta's lack of, quote, deep and historic ties to China, unquote, which is considered a euphemism for Atlanta's small Chinese-American population. American calls Delta's proposal a, quote, high-risk experimental gateway, unquote. United says the U.S. West Coast is severely underserved and calls Atlanta poorly located. Competitors might want to be careful in characterizing Delta to the DOT, however. It sounds as if an underdog might be exactly what the department goes looking for. Nearly 60 years ago, a turf battle emerged as the different branches of the U.S. military argued for their own roles in air power in the Korean War era. Now a similar battle is being sparked by the use of unmanned aerial vehicles. The Financial Times reports that the number of UAVs in use in Afghanistan and Iraq is now about 1,000, and the U.S. Air Force is trying to become the executive agent for all unmanned craft flying above 3,500 feet. The move would give the Air Force exclusivity in acquisition for drones flying above that altitude, and that has set off the turf war. Lieutenant General David Depchula, Deputy Air Force Chief of Staff for Intelligence, Surveillance, and Reconnaissance, says allowing the various services to field competing programs offers, quote, no benefit beyond assuaging ruffled parochial egos, unquote. The Army fires back that one benefit so far is that its Sky Warrior program has met its performance and budget goals, while the Air Force has incurred overruns. As for the competition being wasteful, some disagree. Pierre Chow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies notes that while the infighting can get messy, it is, quote, far more strategically important to have lots of players, different patrons behind those players, and to keep stimulating the useful competition of ideas that a useful inter-service rivalry brings, unquote. The airlines estimate they're going to need to hire 65,000 pilots between now and 2012, and after years of bankruptcy-driven pay cuts for pilots, it's starting to look like prospective employees might be back in the driver's seat. The Washington Times reports commercial air travel has grown 8% in the past 5 years. Airlines have recently begun a shift to using more small jets, which requires more pilots per 1,000 passengers. The vast pool of pilots who started their careers with the military in the Vietnam era are facing forced retirement at age 60. All these things spell fewer available pilots. Making matters worse for the airlines, U.S. pilots are being wooed by foreign airlines. Steve Lott of the International Air Transportation Association notes, quote, this is a global industry, and the neat thing about flying commercially is that you can take that skill anywhere in the world, unquote. The military, which traditionally has been a source of trained pilots, has many pilots deployed in the wake of 9/11. Industry figures show total hiring by U.S. domestic airlines may exceed 8,000 this year, creating market pressures which could reverse the downward trend in pilot salaries, which have dropped sharply since 2004. The shortage could also spell extra money for other airline workers. The Times reports some airlines are offering recruiting bonuses of up to $500 to employees who find new pilots. And finally, AP reports the Navy has pulled a video from YouTube, which it said shows sailors aboard the aircraft carrier Ronald Reagan using safety equipment inappropriately. The video was titled Women of CVN 76, That Don't Impress Me Much, and was set to the Shania Twain song. It was shot by an airman who failed to run it by the ship's commanders or the Navy. It includes brief shots of the door to the ship's nuclear power plant and a sailor dancing in a radiation suit. Lieutenant Commander Charlie Brown, a spokesman for the San Diego-based Naval Air Forces Command, told AP the problem was not a violation of operational security, but the lack of propriety involving the safety equipment. The video's underlying theme is that women serving aboard the Reagan can do the same jobs as men. Brown described it as, quote, a lighthearted and positive depiction of the service of women officers and sailors aboard aircraft carriers and in Navy squadrons, unquote. He adds that Navy commanders have counseled the unidentified airman who produced it. Counseled. I'm betting that word was chosen by the counselors, not the counselee. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Fred Edworthy of Worldwide Aeros, a company developing an airship which can be outfitted as a freight hauler, mobile office center, or personal air yacht. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our Aerocasts. You'll find them on iTunes, Yahoo, and Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.